Once upon a time, there was a princess. Actually, a few princesses. You've probably heard their stories. The princesses who were locked away in towers or had evil step-parents. The ones who kissed frogs, tamed beasts, and were secretly mermaids. You know, those princesses. But what happens to those princesses when they find themselves in a whole new world with new perils lurking around every corner? A world of dragons and monsters and wizards and the dark, scary things that hide in the dark, scary places. Luckily, they begin their adventure specially equipped to deal with the challenges that await. They have their resolve, their grace, and their wits, the kind of inner strength that only princesses possess. Paired with a basket of goodies and a special gift from their fairy godmothers, they sharpen their swords, light their torches, polish their glass slippers, and set out together to delve into the darkest of dungeons. Hello and welcome to another season of My First Dungeon, the tabletop role-playing podcast that helps game masters learn new games and make each one better than the last. And this season, we are getting gritty and pretty in our first foray into the OSR, or the old school renaissance, with perils and princesses. Woo!
Woo!
I am extremely excited about this game. My name is Brian Flaherty, and I will be your GM for this season. And joining me today are some voices you'll be very familiar with, as well as some new adventurers joining our show for the very first time. So let's start with the familiar faces. She is one quarter of Many Sided Media. You know her as Summer Boggs from Slug Blaster, Azora from The Wild Sea, and Gertrude from Yazeba's Bed and Breakfast. It's Abby Hepworth.
Hello.
Hello. They are another quarter of the excellent MSM team. You know them as Rashane Blaster Slug from Slug Blaster, Savali from Paint the Town Red, Hayteen Kumari, and so many more. It's Chinook to Sarah.
Uh-oh, I'm a princess.
Hey! And introducing two brand new voices to My First Dungeon. We first met our next player when she blew us away at a Call of Cthulhu live show in Toronto. She is the community coordinator at Chaosium and the co-host of the Miskatonic University podcast. It's Bridget Jeffries.
Hi, guys. I'm a princess.
This is the tone.
We found the tone right away. It's great.
Already, we made it.
We aced it.
And finally, our last player can be seen on Sagas of Sundry, Goblin Mode, and Seasons of Dimension 20, including Misfits and Magic and Mentopolis. I am very pleased to introduce Danielle Radford.
Oi, mate, I'm also a princess.
There we go. We did it.
We are all coming in guys. Equally hot. Crew, gang, fellas, everybody, I'm so excited to play some princesses with
Woo-hoo!
Y'all. How are you feeling about playing some princesses?
Woo!
Very excited.
Stoked.
Hyper psyched. Super duper psyched. Yeah.
Princesses are just, I loved Pretty and Gritty.
Pretty and gritty. The designer also described the system as a dicey but not a mathy system, which yep. I really, really liked. We're going to be rolling some dice, but we don't got to worry about too much math. This is going to be our first dive into the OSR, the old school renaissance, a style of game that we haven't really tried before on this show, but I'm very excited to just get started with.
Amazing.
So today we're going to be doing our session zero. We're going to be going through our safety tools. We're going to be talking about the tone that we want to hit. We're going to be talking about the kind of story that we want to tell. We're specifically going to be playing through Sweet Revenge, which is one of the first campaign settings for Perils and Princesses, written by Destiny Howell. And then we're going to be building our princesses and then finding ways to congeal them together into a crew, into a party, so that we can begin this adventure. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So to start us off, it's a question I haven't actually asked on this show before, but I think it's a fun place to start. Is there anything that you are hoping to get out of the story that we're going to be telling? Is there anything that you are excited to explore with this game and with this story? Because this is ultimately a story we're going to be building together. So let's start with what we hope from it and then build out from there.
Such a big question.
Huge question to start. I should have started with something easier. But you know what? Let's dive in the deep end.
We'll dive in. I can jump in if that's
okay.
Please. Is that all right, Table?
Yes,
yeah.
Please.
So thankfully, production and our GM sent us the interview that you had with the creator. So I was able to listen through that and kind of get some ideas on the setting and world before I started like thumbing through the book.
Yeah.
And there was something either Brian or the creator said that this game really embodies really well, which is a sense of clever problem solving. Or how you can push your characters in like these really fun, clever ways to come up with like solutions to anything from like having badgers dig underneath or summoning badgers with like your song voice to dig underneath walls or like summoning birds to distract somebody or like doing a lullaby to get a dragon to sleep. I'm excited to kind of separate myself from my standard horror engagement. And I'm most looking forward to telling a story where I can get whimsical and clever and creative at the same time and just see what we come up with. Like there's... It's like Candyland, and I'm just really excited to see what pieces we put together to try to tell the story. So I'm looking for whimsical and clever.
Whimsical and clever. I think we're going to hit that with this game. I think we'll get there.
I think so.
I was going to say, I'm super down, for funny, tricky problem solving. Feels like right up my alley. That's great.
Yeah. Just like looking at the book and all of the different mechanics for... different weapons. I've got my eye on like two that I already know that I want one really bad. And yeah, whimsical is definitely a big name for it. I think in a lot of fantasy, a lot of it still can feel very grounded. And so I'm excited to play in something where there is no ground. It just feels like we get to do as much, we get to be kind of as Bugs Bunny, as cartoon,
yes.
As big and break physicky, in a way that makes sense with the story because the dice will tell the tale as we want. And that is very exciting.
I love it.
Play Where There Is No Ground is a really great title for the episode.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's a great quote.
Shannon Grabby, anything you'd like to add to this?
Getting to be very Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
I feel like all of that are the things that I want from this and to as well of like just playing whatever princess means to you. Of like,
ooh,
if it's a title, if it embodies a certain thing or whatever, just like princess can mean a bunch of different things.
Right.
Which I think is fun.
Yeah. That's another thing that's really exciting about the system is that there are Disney princesses, if you're going that route, that aren't princesses at all. There's, Xena is a warrior princess. So there's all kind of manner of prince or lord or lady that you could decide to be in this. And that's very exciting to get to. And I want to see how everyone else's like interpretation of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Jazz to ask the question of what is a princess?
It's going to be a fun little thing to explore in this. It's funny. We talked about that in the interview with the designer as well, of like Ryan Lynch, the designer, said like, Luke Skywalker is a princess because Obi-Wan Kenobi is his fairy godmother.
Has a fairy godmother, yep.
And it's fun to really like expand that view and make it even bigger. Like princess is already a pretty big word and it can encompass a lot of things. Let's make it even bigger. Let's push those edges.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing a lot of whimsical problem solving. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing a lot of whimsy. There is a good question to ask at this point in the discussion because Sweet Revenge is a adventure module where one of the big things about it is there is a candy curse, which is about as fairy tale as you can get. Things are turning into candy.
Hmm.
And because it's in fairy tale land, there is a pretty wide spectrum of what fairy tale can mean.
Mm-hmm.
That can be all the way from like Disney fairy tale where birds sing and everything ends happy and Cinderella is just about a slipper on a foot, where it could go all the way to Grimm's fairy tales, where Cinderella is a very different story where people are hacking off parts of their foot and it can get very like grim and dark. So I'm curious from everybody here, where on that spectrum do you want this story to fall? So we can kind of do any which way.
I think you can do both. So when I was younger, I had this series that was put up by Encyclopedia Britannica that was like fairy tales from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was introduced by Pat Morita in the shiniest Eddie Murphy from Raw looking suit you've ever seen in front of, I'm assuming was the first background used in the game Myst. And when you introduce these cartoons, you would start with kind of the version that we know, and they'd be like these shorts, and then they would show different versions of those cartoons. And, you know, like that was the first time I'd ever seen or heard of the Princess and the Frog or other things like that, like in terms of different kinds of a Cinderella tale or things of that nature. And then also there was, God, I wish I could remember it. There was an anime that was the Hans Christian Andersen Little Mermaid that my mom got for me because I was huge into Little Mermaid. And it was very cool. There were boobs. I was young. I didn't understand how there could be boobs. And that was like the really dark one where at the end she turns into sea foam, but it still managed to feel quite magical. Yeah. So I think that you can still retain moments of that kind of, God, who was it? Brothers Grimm? Those dudes were Bummer Summer. Because got that fairy tale book for my niece when she was first born. And then I read through some of them and I was like, can't.
Like, oh, never mind.
You can't do that.
Yeah. But it still feels so. There's always been kind of, you know, that haunted element to these fairy tales, but you can keep that and still keep kind of the magic and the whimsy. And I personally like that when it can get into the dark bits, because that does you can have stakes, and again, it doesn't have to be grounded, but I still like that there can be those stakes with, like, hey, maybe a bitch turns into sea foam, like, who knows, you know?
Yeah,
I agree. I feel like I like the idea of there being, like, there's real consequences,
yeah,
to stuff, but also it's yes, that real balance between.
Have you watched Full Metal Alchemist, Brian?
Yeah. I watched the original. I didn't watch Brotherhood.
Oh, okay. Well, there's an episode where it's really sad, but it's like giving, it seems all fine and dandy, and then.
Is it the Chimera
the
episode?
Oh, yeah, it's the Chimera episode.
No,
yeah.
I know. That
I don't know what this is.
It's, yeah, you, it's fucking Abby, you dark. Are not allowed to watch it.
Okay, yeah.
That's, you specifically are not allowed to watch it. Okay. It will ruin our night for weeks.
Oh,
no. One of the saddest things.
Oh, no.
But it's great. No, I get what you're saying. That's very fun. I'm excited to play in a lot of the vibes of Fairy Tale. I think we're going to live in a lot of the, like, fun Gumdrop Forest type vibe of it. But then having the ability to kind of dip down into darkness is always really fun, especially in, like, lighter storytelling. It really, like, can hit harder when it's you, when it's sprinkling.
I completely agree. Danielle said something beautifully, and then it kind of echoed into something Abby said, but at some point in that interview, it was whimsical and fun and, you know, gumdrops, and suddenly the friend that you've been trying to save, you finally reach them and they've been turned to candy. And I don't know why, but I was walking from my living room to my dining room to, like, put dishes in the sink, and I stopped. And it's like, those are the emotional beats that I love most in horror. It's not the body horror. It's not the suspense. It's those consequences. It's that accountability. It's that buy-in. Yeah. It's that emotional hurt that sings hardest, loudest, and, like, most viscerally for me in horror. And just our best friend that we were trying to save, we turned the corner and they're standing by the tree. She's turned into a gummy bear. Was just devastating for me in that moment. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. Because again, when you have that innocence and that whimsical, the horror, even something as simple as that, she's turned into candy, is enough to make you go, oh,
yeah,
these stakes are real.
Like, it doesn't even have to be explained. It just is stated, and you know how much it hurts, how scary it is.
Correct. And that's still with, you know, honoring whimsical.
100%. Yeah.
In fact, I think whimsical deaths might be the worst death.
I don't think you're wrong.
Is there a more whimsical death than Demon Barber Fleet Street turning you into a pie? That's pretty whimsical.
That's whimsy.
And that's whimsy.
And it's all
that on a t-shirt. That's whimsy.
That's whimsy. <Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba>. Now that we have that kind of a bit of the tone established, let's start talking about safety tools. Before we get into building our characters, because safety tools are a big thing that we are huge proponents of here at My First Dungeon. Safety tools are not just the thing that create the lines with which you should play inside of, and, like, they're not just the things that say, hey, let's not talk about this. It also is a great conversation for us to have, so that we like to describe safety tools as for the sickos. Like, because the more we talk about what we do and don't want in the story, the closer we can get to those lines comfortably without getting into like dangerous territory. So if you're not using safety tools, you're playing these games wrong. I'll say it here loud. And
say it with our chest. I'll argue with your mama.
Exactly. Whole chest there. So the main safety tools we use on my first dungeon are lines and veils and the X card. The X card is the easiest to explain. It's kind of the ripcord moment for if something in the game happens that you're not particularly comfortable with, it touches on an area you're not interested in playing in, or maybe if it just takes the story down a way that you really don't want the story to go, great, just say, often on this show, we just say X card. We're working digitally. You can type an X in the chat. We have our producer, Elliot, monitoring that as well as me. And that's just something we'll stop, we'll pause, we'll take a beat, figure out what's going on and how we want to recalibrate the story so that we're all playing in a game that we want to play in. Because ultimately, this is, at its very core, we are playing a game for fun. And so we should always be doing that.
Wow! We're playing?
So that's always a tool that is at our disposal. The other one is lines and veils. Lines and veils are typically described as lines are the things that we do not touch. So obviously, like the big bad things in the world that we don't want to play in, we're not going to bring into this game. So we're not going to be touching on homophobia, racism, sexism in the game. They exist in our world, and that sucks. They do not need to exist in a game world where we are having fun. And then veils are kind of things that can exist in the world, but beyond a like kind of obscure veil. So we don't see it directly. It just kind of exists off to the side, slightly off screen. On various scenes of my first dungeon, there have been a lot of different like smaller lines and veils that people have that are things that they just don't enjoy playing or give them the ick or something. So things that often come up are like violence against animals, like finger descriptions of finger gore. This is also a good time to discuss like what type of gore or what type of body horror you're not interested in seeing. Is there any lines or veils anyone would like to bring up for this table?
I mean, I think that there's the standard deduction. I think I can't think of another way to put that. I think the standard deduction goes for me. I feel like with the specificity of the finger things, I might discover new things as the rest of you start talking.
This is a thing that happened to me when we were doing Orbital Blues, was we got in a fight scene and I was like, oh, a new line for me is describing violence against kneecaps. Didn't know that was the thing that grossed me out, where I was like, oh, I don't want that. So yeah, that comes up sometimes.
That's so incredibly specific.
it was, which is why I never thought to bring it up, and then it happened and I was like, ooh, can we retcon that? Can we? Maybe not.
And that also is a good thing to say, that this isn't just a conversation that will happen now. This is an open door. This is an evolving conversation. So if one episode in, nine episodes in, you realize there's something that, hey, we've touched on something I don't want to play in, this is an open door. So don't think of this as the one time you get to say something. This is just the first time you get to approach this conversation. Abby, I know you had, because it might come up in this, like violence against animals is something that you're not particularly interested in.
I don't love it. There's shades of it that I think, especially because like animals play a big role in this, that I'll let you know if anything comes up that I'm like hard no, but I know that there's like, you can touch on it a bit because there's like animal familiars and this and that, you know, whatever.
And there's a whole forest of animals turning into candy type
right,
things.
Yeah.
But they often approach more the monstrous than the, they are scary bears and things rather than your buddy, the dog.
Okay.
I know I'm not a fan of spiders. Yeah, I don't rock with spiders. We can skip those at all time. I don't anticipate this coming in, but I would love to avoid cancer if all possible.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't see that on the menu, but I'd rather just articulate it now so we can call it a day.
No, that's good. Bridget, I just want to check, just because a portion of this particular game is about like candy curse creeping in, and there's like an element of that being kind of a progression of a disease type thing. Does that feel like something?
Oh, green light. Yeah, as long as I don't have to grieve somebody dying with cancer or talk to them or like deal with that.
Just wanted to, they were similar enough that I was like, let me double check this core principle of this adventure.
Core principle with curiosity and clarity. Yeah, thank you.
Cool.
I think like grotesque eye violence is a thing that's. That's a
good one. I was on the fence with that one. So not,
if okay, that's, super like it's
if cool. That's it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, kind of a question for me in terms of like body horror. There is, you know, things are going to be turning into candy. That can be very whimsical, as in I'm slowly becoming a cupcake. That could also be very grotesque, as in like my, I don't know, teeth are becoming Tic Tacs, and every time I bite something, they shatter. Or so, I don't know. Like they can, it can get ickier.
Who puts Tic Tacs in cupcakes?
That's what a true horror.
It wasn't. Yeah, they weren't the same guy.
Okay. That's now on my. That's now online. No.
Tic Tac cupcakes.
Tic Tacs are out. I'm so sorry.
I'll check myself.
Is because it's candy that even the grotesque is somewhat just kind of funny.
All right, Abby's throwing the gauntlet.
If anybody has issues with that,
yeah, I think for me a lot of it. There isn't anything I can think of again, except for kind of the huge that is throwing up big red flags for me. Like, I think I'm more likely to throw up a yellow than I am to throw up like an X. So if it's something and I see it kind of creeping towards something, just like a yellow, meaning just like, hey, like this is happening and it's cool, but we don't need to like.
We don't need to dwell on it.
We can move past.
Yeah.
We can move past.
Yeah. Or yeah. Or just like yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
hurry it along, bro.
Black screen. Or, yeah.
I 100% get that. So again, this is an evolving conversation. So if anyone has more lines or veils that come up, or just anything you want to talk about on or off mic, I'm always available. Elliot, our producer, is always available. So just let me know, because ultimately, this is all about having fun.
Fun.
Now is the time. It's finally come. We've gotten past safety tools. We've gotten past introductions. It is time to make some princesses!
No!
Princess!
I wanted to be a princess.
And now you can.
As we're going, we're going to be talking about some rule stuff as well for anyone who hasn't listened to our interview with the designer. But if you haven't, you should go listen to our interview with Ryan Lynch. It's going to give you a big rundown on all the rules. And he's just going to give a lot of great tips on how to run this game if you're thinking of running it yourself.
Yeah.
But let's dive into character creation. So one of the first things that we have, every princess has a fairy godmother. Because we have four people, I was thinking of making a singular fairy godmother that we would all like share.
Ooh.
Unless anyone has like really big ideas for their fairy godmother. I'm happy to pivot on that.
We all have our separate relationships to her, right? Like no...
My thought is all separate relationships. I would just, for practicality purposes, I'd love to consolidate that into one person since we are doing a slightly shortened season.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think that you can mix Piddlix this like fairy godmother as much as you want to. You know what I mean?
What was that word?
Say again.
No, I've never heard this before.
We can learn something new, honey.
It's a Superman villain who's an imp from the fifth dimension. and
it's Mix Piddlix?
Mix Piddlix. And so he's kind of like, you know, he causes mischief, but sometimes he can be like whatever he wants to be. So if you decide, you know, like in the way that they've got like the same relationship, I feel like, what is it? Unitarians who believe that God comes to you like however you need them to, but it's all the same God. I'm getting really in the weeds. But just that thing of like this. Like godmother can be like whatever, you know, I don't know, almost like you could also make her like appear to, or them appear to like us, however we need them to, and things like that as well, while still maintaining like the same character.
Yeah.
What is a fairy godmother?
One of these days, I will learn how to talk without sounding like those dudes from Star Trek who only talk in reference.
No,
it's not
going
to be today.
But why?
Nothing to fix.
When you master a dialect, you just keep it. You just keep going.
Yeah.
You don't need another one. Fairy godmothers in this game are your patrons, your spiritual guides, your guardians, and they're also the source of your gifts. So I think we'll find our fairy godmother as we build our characters. So kind of keep in the back of your mind of what this fairy godmother looks like just a little bit as we go through.
Can we all give her one attribute?
Oh, I like that.
Let's do her last.
Okay.
All right, everyone, as we're going through, think of one attribute for the fairy godmother.
Okay.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Okay, I'm excited about that. I love random tables, and using my players as random tables is great.
Is a win, yep.
So in Perils and Princesses, your gift is kind of the same thing as your class or your paragon in other games. This is the main attribute, the main thing that your princess is going to be doing. The eight options are the Wild Heart, the Enchanting Voice, Sprightly Agility, Elemental Connection, Kitchen Magic, Healing Touch, Powerful Friendship, and Sage Intellect. I'd love to go around and hear if anyone has any strong preferences. And Danielle and Bridget, since you guys are new to the show, I'd love to give you guys first pick, if you'd like.
Oh, that's sweet.
Bridget, would you like to go?
Yeah, gorgeous. I'm going to be that problem child just straight out of the gate for everybody.
Perfect.
Sorry. I wanted to roll randomly just to see what picks up and then just to kind of like showcase maybe something that, I don't know, the dice choose versus the players.
Please.
But I also don't want to duplicate gifts. So even though I was given first choice, can I go at the very last and I just roll a D whatever for whatever's left?
Yes.
Chaos. And this is, I'm very excited about this because especially OSR games and this game in particular are very interested in randomness and random tables. And so I'm excited to play a little bit with that as a GM. And also I'm excited to see it at like hardcore on the player side as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that table. I appreciate it. Yeah. So if you guys choose, I'll roll a D whatever for whatever options are left and we'll rock out from there.
Cool. Hell yeah. Danielle then.
I have ideas of what to do with Enchanting Voice.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh, I like it.
Is that, are you locking it in?
If no one else wants that one, that's one that I've got some ideas for a bunch of them, but that's the one that I think I have like the most kind of all of my very squishy ideas. This is the least squishy.
I love it.
Okay.
No, yeah, take it. That was the one I wanted the least.
So. Perfect.
Nice. That worked out.
It is amazing how in role-playing games, so often I'll look at all the choices for classes and I'll be like, oh, there's one obvious choice that everyone's going to pick. And then I get to the table and I'm the only one that wanted that choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Danielle, can you do me a favor? Do you have the PDF up in front of you?
Yes.
On page, it's page 13 in the book.
Oh yeah, I'm already on it.
Beautiful.
Sorry. Teacher, I like getting gold stars. Would you like me to read it? I'm not prepared.
Could you please give me your dramatic reading of number two, The Enchanting Voice?
You have an enchanting voice. You enrapture those who can hear you, beckoning them closer in awe, lulling them into a peaceful state, or inspiring them to join in. When you really unleash your voice, you feel like it echoes beyond the earthly realm.
I'm sick. That wasn't my best dramatic.
I don't know, babe. You did that on my end.
That was great. That was great.
I enjoyed it.
Don't qualify it. That was awesome.
Enchanting Voice is very fun. I'm going to read out some of the innate abilities you're getting to start. So every gift in this game has two innate abilities, also has some talents, and then has a selection of special abilities. So starting with the innate abilities, these are things you can kind of do at any time. They're kind of innate to your gift. You can mimic voices and sounds with uncanny accuracy. You are also alluring. You gain advantage on virtue tests to calm, de-escalate, soothe, or delight a person or creature through song or verse. When you perform, strangers who overhear you have a tendency to approach after becoming captivated by your voice.
Hmm. Ooh la la, she's a little siren.
I love it.
Yeah.
Pulling people in with the songs. And your special abilities, which we're going to be getting into more about gift dice and how those work for this game, which is going to be a core mechanic of the game. Your first special ability is Simple Songs. You sing a happy working song and anyone who hears it can modify a virtue test rolling up to some of your dice or sing a lullaby and nearby creatures with heart points less than or equal to the sum of your gift dice fall asleep. This does not affect creatures that can't hear you.
Bard.
Bard a little energy. Bit, a little bardsy, and bard I tried not to.
This is given bard. I love it.
I usually do a little bardsy, but I
this given bard, yeah. Baby.
She's a twist on bard. She's different.
I love it.
Yeah,
she's a princess.
I'm not like other bards.
Abby or Shenouk, who's feeling frisky? Who wants to go?
Go ahead, Abby. Go ahead.
Okay, I also was looking at two, so Shenouk call out, but I'm thinking Sprightly Agility.
Ooh.
Take it.
I'm leaning, yeah. All right, ooh. We're
Give me a dramatic reading of sprightly
We're
agility.
High flying, baby. You have sprightly agility. You are fleet-footed, naturally acrobatic, and move nimbly and stealthily. You can leap, dance, and run like none other. Sometimes when you dance, you feel mysterious ancient magic start to flow through you.
Oh.
Ooh.
Whoa.
It's giving sinners.
Ooh.
Sprightly agility. Let's talk about your innate and special abilities. Innate abilities, you are evasive. You're skilled at dodging attacks. When unarmored, you treat your armor value as 1. At level 4, treat your armor value as 2, as long as you have no armor on.
Ooh la la.
Armor in this game just acts as a damage soak. So basically, if you take 4 points of damage and your armor is 1, you now only take 3 points of damage. You are also cat-like.
Hey.
You have advantage on
Very good. Very, very good.
That's good. Strong. That was strong.
You have advantage on virtue tests that involve acrobatics, climbing, or stealth. You can leap twice as far as most people.
I got them legs.
Hey. Got them thangs.
Maybe I'm part frog, legs. Part cat.
Hey. Find out.
You could. Your special ability for your first level is nimble. You can modify a virtue test by the sum of your gift dice to escape a restraint or trap, or to attempt combat antics like shoving, grappling, tripping, or acrobatics.
You know I love antics.
Combat antics in this game are kind of your way as players to throw some extra creativity and stank on it to hopefully try to get advantage out of
me. Yeah, negotiating.
I do love stank.
Love a little stank. There's not a lot of mechanics in this game that will get you advantages or bonuses. That's all going to be coming from your creativity as players and the way that you use your crazy antics to try to prove to me that you deserve advantage, and Oof. I will be very happy to give it to you all the same. Shenouk, what are you looking at for your princess?
Man, I was hoping someone would take one of the two that I wanted.
So then it solidified your choice?
Yeah.
Exactly. I wanted to do either healing touch or powerful friendship.
Oh. Maybe we should let Bridget roll, and if Bridget gets one of the two, then you get the other one.
I don't know. I don't think we should let Shenouk off the hook for getting everything they wanted.
Go ahead, make them suffer.
Oh no, I have all of the choices.
Come on.
Bridget, if you'd like to roll, you're more than welcome to skip Shenouk and see if you take one of the ones that he was.
Yeah, no, I'll be happy to do so. If the dice go, haha, no, you're still going to have to choose between the two. I'm just going to say that's like a good omen for the campaign.
Exactly.
Seems fair.
All right, guys. So there are 8 choices and 2 have been selected. So I'm hitting a D6 at this point, right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, that feels authentic to me. I hit a 1, so it looks like I'm going with Wild Heart.
Damn it.
Sorry, babe. Still got to choose.
Fuck. Sorry, man. You got to make the choice. Bridget, let's stay on you. Can you give me your dramatic reading of Wild Heart?
You have a wild heart. Because of your animalistic nature, you can call upon woodland creatures and summon them to your aid. Sometimes you wonder if, deep down, you're more animal than human.
Dang.
That's going spicy fast.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's talk about your innate and special abilities. Your innate abilities, you are a whisperer. You can speak with animals and intuit their feelings. You are also a natural climber. You have advantage on any virtue tests involving climbing or tricky terrain.
I love it.
We've been saying virtue tests a lot in this so far as I'm describing
these. What does
that mean? Virtue tests are basically what we call a ability check or roll in this game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're going to get into stats in a moment, but every princess has 3 main stats. They are grace, which is your poise under pressure, your navigating social and natural hazards, your wits, your mental toughness, emotional will to tap into your inner magic, and resolve, ability to fight in the face of terror, channeling your emotions into physical actions. All of these as a bundle are called virtue tests. And in this game, we're going to be trying to roll under our numbers. In this game, nat 20 is bad, nat 1 is good. It's going to be a mind fuck for anyone who's into D&D, but Bridget, I think, since you've been doing roll low games, you're going to have the advantage on us.
You're right. I'm coming in hot.
That immediate reaction where you get a 1 and you're like, damn it. Wait, no, wait, that's good.
Wait, it's good.
Wait, no, it's good.
Yep.
And then the Wild Heart's special ability is give a little whistle. You can summon friendly local animals and summon to your aid by whistling a distinct tune. You can either get the sum of your gift dice number of small animals, so squirrels, rats, frogs, or the number of gift dice you use, large beasts, which are deer, mountain lions, alligators. They will help you with a single task to the best of their abilities. The specific type of animal that shows up depends on your location and surroundings.
Love it. Coming in with the druid energy, guys. Let's go.
Coming in with the druid energy. And finally, the most decisive member of our group, Chinook. I'm so ready to hear what the one thing that you wanted. That one thing is
healing touch.
Healing touch.
Let's go.
Can you give me your dramatic reading of healing touch?
You have a healing touch. You can restore others with your hands, your hair, and your tears. You've never been sick, and being around you makes others just feel better in a way they can't explain.
Ooh.
Cool. Can you do that through Riverside right now? Just for me. Just as a favor.
Just send those energies just through a little the bit. Microphone.
Rest just like me, a little, yeah. Rest
I'll send it to you in the mail.
It'll get there just in time for you to be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 to 5 business days.
That's a guarantee.
Let's talk about some innate and special abilities for healing touch. Your innate abilities are lifeblood. You are immune to illness, infection, and poison. However, dope. You are extra tasty to monsters, vampires, and anything carnivorous.
Oh, okay, life's a trade-off.
So this is going to be a little bit interesting because, especially in Sweet Revenge, a big part of this is the candy curse. I don't know if that's illness, infection, or poison, but I'll definitely
I think it is.
I'll definitely let you fiddle with the. Ooh. I'll definitely let you roll some advantage on this type of thing.
Ah,
in this for sure.
Clever, Shani.
Nice. I'm gonna write that down so I don't forget.
Right. I got it. I got the thing.
Can't get me.
And your other. Your other innate ability is Big Heart. You start with an extra heart die. You can also spend your heart die to heal your friends when you stop for a picnic. Picnic in this game is the term for a short rest.
Oh.
It's very cute.
So cute. I love everything so much.
Yeah.
While we're talking about heart dice, I should go to explain the two cool things about heart dice. So heart dice are things that you will gain every level. You're going to start the game with one. We're going to be going 1 through 4 in this campaign. With each level, you'll gain an additional heart dice. Heart dice act kind of like hit dice in D&D. They're things you can roll during short rest to heal. But more importantly and more interestingly, they are dice you can roll to help influence another player's failed roll.
Oh.
So yeah. Everyone has a little bonus thing they can throw to someone else. All you got to do is sell it to me about how you are helping them succeed or get that little bit of extra stank in order to succeed on a roll.
Cool.
They really should have just put in an extra stank. Just call it extra stank.
Just call it extra
call
stank.
Lynch up and say, hey, on version
call.
2.
We all know what it was. Call it extra stank.
Add the stank mechanic.
The stank mechanic.
Really love heart dice. The design of this game specifically called out how fun heart dice are during play.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be kind of teasing it to you guys of like, hey, do you want to use that very limited resource you have to help your buddy and see if they can succeed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a beautiful mechanic.
It's very cool. It's simple and clean. Mm-hmm. And it just, mm-hmm. I love things that are just that. Let's improve things by 1% and somehow improve them by 100%. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Ooh, well said.
The other key dice thing that we're going to be rolling in this game. So we're going to be rolling D20s to roll under for our virtue test. We're going to be rolling D4s, which are our heart dice. We're also going to be rolling D6s, which are our gift dice. Gift dice in this game are the things that you're going to be using for your special abilities, for magic items, for casting spells, etc. You will start with one gift dice for at level 1. You'll gain a new gift dice every level. They are things that can be spent and regained after long rests. The most interesting thing about gift dice is like how many things you can affect and the degree to which you affect them are determined by the number of gift dice you use. So say you're casting Fireball. If you use 3 gift dice, you can affect 3 creatures. And okay. The amount of the effect is Ooh. Determined by the sum of the dice that you roll.
Oh. Cool.
The most cool. interesting part about gift dice, and probably my favorite thing in this entire system, you can roll gift dice whenever you use them. If you roll them, if you roll a 1, 2, or 3, great. they are the less desirable outcomes because they're less effective, but they return to your pool. You can continue to use them.
Mm-hmm.
If you roll a 4, 5, or 6, the more desirable outcome, probably the more potent outcome, you no longer get to use those gift dice until you have a long rest.
Yeah.
So essentially, every time you roll, depending on what you're doing, it might be the last time you're able to use your special ability or cast a spell. So who knows? You might be able to use your special ability 20 times before you roll a 4, 5, or 6, or maybe you can only use it once. So you're always gambling every time you're using your special abilities, which I think is fucking rad.
That is,
I'm so excited about that.
I do too.
Yeah. Little bit of strategy, okay.
Mm-hmm. Little bit of strategy. Mm-hmm. I love a game that always is making you gamble. Just that little bit extra.
Yeah.
Let's start talking about some stats. So what we are going to need for this is some D4s. So the first thing we're going to be rolling for is heart points. These are essentially your health, your hit points, your vitality. This is going to be a D4 plus 4. So everyone go ahead and roll your D4s, add 4. Abby, what'd you get?
I rolled a 4 and then I add 4, so it's 8.
Nice.
Whoa, okay. Shenouk, what'd you get?
I also rolled a 4.
Nice.
Also an 8. Bridget, what'd you get?
I rolled a 2, so my sum is a 6.
Hell yeah. And Danielle?
Don't worry about it.
I think that's a 4. I think it's a 4.
I rolled a 1. So that's a 5.
Okay. Rolled a 5. This is going to be great. The next thing we're going to be doing is determining your base stats. Your 3 stats, as I mentioned before, are resolve, which is kind of a strength. This is your ability to fight. Your grace, which is kind of a dexterity-based thing. And then wits, which is your mental fortitude and also something you're going to be using for some of your spellcasting stuff. So for this, we're going to be rolling 4d4 for each virtue. Obviously, you're trying to roll high because in this game, this is a roll-under system, which means we're going to be rolling a d20, and every time you're just going to be trying to get under your individual resolve, grace, or wits number. I'm never going to be setting DCs. You're always looking at your own stats. So, Abby, what'd you get for your resolve?
I didn't do it yet. I did it now. I did it now.
I did
it so badly. Oh, my God, I got 3 ones.
3 ones, baby.
7. I'm not going to have a lot of resolve, am I?
So this is a thing. You may choose to re-roll a single stat or swap values for 2 stats. Oh. So we'll go through the whole thing, and then you can shoot. We can let everyone re-roll anything if you want.
Okay.
So you're sitting at 7. Shinnik, what you got?
Wait, I roll just 4d4.
Just 4d4.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh man, I rolled 3, 4, and 2, 1. So that's a 9.
9.
Man, this game is hard.
We literally have not started. Bridget, what you looking at?
I hit a sum of 9 as well.
Oh yeah. Danielle.
And it's just the 4d4s. We don't add anything to this
that
one?
That is correct.
So 10.
10.
Nice.
Next, we're going to do Grace. Same thing, 4d4.
It's a lot better.
Abby, what'd you get?
9.
Okay. Shinnik, what'd you get?
I rolled 2 4s and then 2 1s, so 10.
Really split the difference there.
Bridget, what'd you get?
I hit a 9 again.
9. And Danielle.
9, 10, 11.
Hell yeah. We are rolling, just to give everyone a point of reference, we are rolling 4d4s. The average of a d4 is 2.5, rolling 4 of them. So an average roll on this is 10.
Okay.
Okay.
Last one is wits. Abby, so what you got?
12.
Ooh, a big one. Shenouk.
8.
Bridget?
I hit another 9. 9 across the board.
9. Wow. Perfect. 9s across the board.
Perfect 9.
My favorite joke in any animated film is in the extremely Goofy movie. And it's Goofy like gets things blasted on the back of a skateboard, and he ends up doing a routine at the College X Games. And the announcer goes, "Perfect 10s across the board. Except for the German judge. 9 on that one." I don't know why. It's the intonation. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard. I'm sorry, Danielle, hit me.
So 2 4s and 2 2s, so that is 12.
Ooh, big one.
Hell yeah.
And then everyone may choose to re-roll a single stat or swap values for 2 stats. Abby, I'll start with you. Would you like to re-roll 1 or swap values for 2?
I am going to re-roll my resolve because I just, 7 so low.
7's rough. 7 is rough.
7 is a struggle, honey.
Yeah. I'm so scared. I'm going to roll worse. Oh, hot damn. Okay. Wait, 2, 4 is a 3 and a 2. So what is that? 8, 10, 13.
Huge.
Let's
huge.
Go.
Yeah, let's go.
She got brave all of a sudden.
Yes.
Also, just so you guys know, as you guys level up, each time you level up, you'll gain a heart dice. You'll also get to increase these base stats as you go.
Amazing.
Shenouk, you want to change one or swap two?
Yeah, I'm going to reroll my wits. That's an 8 right now. And...
Oh, no. Tell me it's not a 4.
You get 4.
I rolled
one.
A 7.
Oh, yeah.
I'm deciding how mean, how mean should I be. This is the OSR season, so I think I should be mean.
You should be mean.
I'm gonna be mean.
Which stat was that?
Wits.
Bridget, would you like to reroll one, swap two, swap either of your nines?
I know, just 9 for the 9. No, I rerolled my resolve and I got a 12.
Ooh, okay, hell yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, much better.
And Danielle, swap, reroll, or nothing?
I'm good because I feel like you're gonna make me keep it if it sucks, and I'm above the average.
Honestly,
so
10, 11, 12 is you're it's looking pretty,
that's pretty sick. It's pretty dope.
That makes up for the 5
honey.
Health.
It makes up for the 5 health. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So okay. Yeah, you're good. You're balanced. Excellent. 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 Excellent.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
So we have our stats. So there is, as we kind of like building characters now, we're going to kind of get into the meat of a character, who your character is, what they're like, you know, or what they look like, their personality. There is in this book a personality table. Bridget, I don't know if you want to go all the way in roll tables.
All the way in, honey. We're random. Yeah. All the way. We are going to highlight the system on what happens when you do random character generations. Yep,
then,
let's go.
Then Bridget, if you'll do me a favor.
Yes, sir.
If I'm going to, so there's kind of a like, sentence structure in this. If you roll me 1d6 and then I'll kind of read the first section, and then the second d6 I'll read the second section, thirds, so I'll kind of like describe to you the results that you get.
Okay guys, rolling 3d6. At first glance, people may notice my, I rolled a 3, deeply kind, enchanting eyes.
Oh,
okay.
Aww.
Those close to me think I'm, on a d6 is a 1, strong-willed and courageous.
Nice.
Yeah, we okay. Secretly, deep down, I, with a 3, am terribly superstitious.
Ooh.
Oh, I love superstition as a
That's
character
good, right?
trait.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's a d20 table as well.
What really motivates me? Oh, guys, this got interesting very quickly. Getting revenge.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Hell yeah.
That got delicious really fast. So just to make sure I have it clarified, at first glance, people notice my deeply kind, enchanting eyes. People close to me think I'm strong-willed and courageous. Secretly, deep down, I am terribly superstitious. And what really motivates me is getting revenge.
That rocks.
We got an angry princess, guys.
Heck yeah.
Love it. Love it. Does anyone else want to roll on a personality table, or do you want to go through and kind of like describe your first inklings of who your character is?
I'm happy to roll. If
only if you want. Yeah, you tell me.
Yeah. No, yeah. Roll, that makes my life easier.
All right, Shenouk, roll 3d6, and same as Bridget, read through what you get.
Cool. At first glance, people notice my elegant, regal demeanor.
Oh, okay. Come through
okay.
here.
Okay. Fancy those, princess.
Yeah.
Very fancy princess.
Those close to me think I'm loving and loyal.
Ooh.
Okay. Ooh.
Nice. But secretly, deep down, I bottle up all my rage.
Oh, we're angry. Let's go. Oh,
angry. Okay, here we go. And you're the healer, too.
You're the healer.
That rocked.
Just hot rage coming out of your healing hands.
bottled up.
Get better.
Get better, damn it.
Why aren't you better yet?
Heal.
And go ahead and roll that D20 table as well.
Cool. D20. What really motivates me is finding love.
Oh.
This is a really cute character. I did not expect this.
That's very cute.
I'm somehow like imagining really, man, that's a combination of things in your character. You're healing, you're angry, but you want to find love. It's like,
but you want to find love.
Better,
yeah.
Damn it. Yeah. Where is my prince?
Where
also,
is
I
my
love
prince?
You.
Yeah.
Sweet. It's the very angry, I love you.
This is
now
this
get better. Hard.
Abby, do you want to tell us about your character or would you like to roll on the tables?
I'm going to maybe just sort of pick from the tables, but I have an idea of her a bit. At first glance, people notice my wildly beautiful, messy hair.
Let's go.
When was the last time it was combed? We don't know.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Those close to me think I am wise beyond my years.
Oh, I like this.
Secretly, deep down, I want all the gossip I can get.
Oh, that's valid.
Let's go.
Because that is true of me, the actual human being as well.
Feed me the gossip. Get
you know,
to me.
I bet them animals, I know they got some stuff.
I was going to say, you are getting the hot goss and I need to know it. what really motivates me is protecting my friends.
Oh,
we'll be
aww.
Cute.
Friendship.
Okay. And then Danielle. Would you like to tell us about your princess, or would you like to pick from this table?
I think I'm gonna pick from the table, but I'm not gonna roll. I'm gonna go with. At first glance, people notice my endearing, mischievous smile. I think I pronounced mischievous correctly. Please don't at me. Thank you. That's a hard one. I learned what that word was before I learned how to say it. So I said mischievous for a while.
I did that. In history class, I was reading aloud in high school, and I read the word. I'd always seen this word, and I never said it from reading aloud. And I said the compromise of 1812 instead of the compromise of 1812. And the next 15 minutes of the class were the teacher and the students all ribbing me. Just the whole time.
Oh, like they knew. They didn't know.
Right? They didn't know.
They hit me right away. They were like, you mean compromise? It was a nightmare. I'm sorry, Danielle. Please.
No. I have trauma. We'll scare later after off mic. Right. Those close to me think that I am. I'll say. Well, I've got a good wit stat, so I'll say brilliant and quick-witted.
Nice. Excellent.
Because I've got a good wit stat. And then secretly deep down, do we have anybody who is loving indulging in vices yet?
No.
Nope. Then I will love indulging in vices.
Nice. Hell yeah.
And then what really motivates me is, ooh, that's hard.
Yeah. That one's got a lot of good ones.
Yeah, they've got a lot of good ones. Ooh, gaining respect. Let's do that, because that could be a fun one with the vices.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. Like it's a little column A, column B kind of a thing at odds with each other.
Yeah.
Love that. So one of the other things that we have in this game are your talents. Talents are things, you have a certain number of them associated with your gift. So for instance, healing touch talents are healing, sewing, animal husbandry, and herbalism. Talents are things that like you are often able to do if you spend time doing them. It's kind of like getting you closer to advantage if you have a talent in it. There is a talent table here. So you're all going to get to either roll on this or choose one. Actually, I want everyone to roll on this because on every option, there are two things you can pick. And this will be an additional talent your character has. Abby, I'm going to go ahead and start with you.
I got 3. Foraging or fiber arts. What do we think fiber arts are?
Is it making clothes?
And you ain't about
I would
to get
guess
embarrassed
clothes
on a recording.
And
I'm going to go to Google.
Yeah.
Fiber optics. Maybe you work for Verizon.
Fiber optics. I'm really good at Wi-Fi. I can always figure out what the Wi-Fi password is.
Okay, fiber art is an art that uses fibers, yarns, and fabric to create visually compelling pieces.
Mm-hmm. And also bread, because you got to get your daily fiber.
I got to get your daily fiber.
And there we go, there we go. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I am actually going to go with foraging, though, because the other idea that I had for a princess was going to be a little bit of a forager, and so now I get both, best of both worlds. The dice wanted me to have a little bit of both.
The dice were here for you, baby.
They were here.
Chinook, what you got?
I rolled a 19. Which is astronomy or horseback riding.
That's cute.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, right? I want to be a horse girl. I want to be a horse girl.
I'd be a horse girl. All right.
Be a horse girl. Yes. You can't have a princess game without a horse girl.
Thank you for giving us something I didn't know we needed.
Bridget, what you got for us?
I hit a 5, and my options are theater or herbalism, and I just have to go with herbalism.
Hell yeah. And Danielle, what you got?
I'm rolling now, so it'll be a surprise to all of us. Ooh, history or healing?
Ooh.
Ooh. This is a fake made-up place, so let's go history, because then Danielle doesn't need to know anything.
Yeah, good call.
Now you just get free reign to make up lore at will, and Brian has to go with it.
You know, actually, Danielle, I'll definitely let you do that. If you want to like claim to know history and make it canon, I will certainly let you try.
Oh no. Oh yeah, let's do it. Oh, that'll be fun. Oh, it'll be bad. And history will work very well with kind of the idea of what I'm thinking. So that's perfect. Yeah. Let's do history.
Hell yeah. The next thing we're going to do is your equipment and your stuff, the stuff that you're carrying around. You have some unique items listed on your gift page. For instance, for healing touch, you have a healer's kit, you have a sewing kit with needles and scissors, roll of bandages, vials, etc. Everyone's also going to start with 3d6 silver pieces, 4 torches, 6 meals of trail food, a bedroll for sleeping, a tinderbox for starting fires, and a big purse or knapsack. Items marked with a 1 count as 1 towards your total carrying capacity. Items marked with a 2 are bulky and count towards 2. You cannot carry items more than double your resolve.
Okay.
This may or may not be a thing that comes up, but I will use it if it's a thing of like, hey, you want to carry back 5 golden statues and they're all big and you can only carry 2 of them. That'll be an interesting problem for you guys to solve.
Okay.
We're not going to get too crunchy, but it may come up.
It could come up. Okay.
You can also choose what you are dressed like. Bridget, if you want to roll on this D6 table, we can see what you're dressed like.
Coming at you fast with a D6. I hit a 2. I am dressed like a peasant. Plain dress, apron.
Excellent. Abby. Would you like to roll? Is there one of these that's speaking to you?
I rolled already, and I got a 4, so I am dressed like a soldier.
Stitched
tunic, cape, and leather gloves.
Okay, that's interesting. With a sprightly agility, you're moving, and you're...
I'm going to flavor it of their, like, weightlifting gloves.
Okay.
Interesting. This is
amazing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, babe.
Yeah.
Chinook, what are you looking at?
A noble.
Okay.
You seem so happy about it.
Embroidered garb, silk gloves.
Our angry noble.
Put a little stank on a noble garb. What does that look like for you? Apparently I like the word stank today. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, stank is coming stank strong, energy. Honey. Yeah.
Pretty much every season I'll stumble into a word that is that season's word. And I guess it's stank for this season.
Yeah, I'm wearing a very heavy cape that weighs me down.
Oh, damn.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And Danielle.
I rolled, this is perfect, nomad, patterned robes, beads, and ribbons.
Hell yeah. The next thing are armor and shields. You're welcome to roll on them or choose. I know, Abby, you're probably going to go unarmored, so you're welcome to just choose that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Bridget, I'll start with you.
Okay, honey. Armor and shields, roll d20 for my armor, it's looking like.
Yep.
And it looks like I hit a 5, so I'm coming in heavy. Metal armor made of interlocking chains and connected plates.
Hell yeah. And that is armor value of 2, which means anytime you take damage, you will take 2 less than whatever the damage amount is.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad. Abby, did you want to roll on this, or do you want to go with your unarmored defense as you kind of have?
No, I feel like no armor is the right move for the spirited, sprightly agility.
Agreed.
Chinook, give me a roll.
I rolled an 11, so light. Stitched layers of cloth reinforced with leather or heavy canvas.
Hell yeah. And that is a armor of 1, so you'll reduce damage by 1. And Danielle.
Also got light.
Hell yeah. Again, you'll reduce damage by one. The last thing to pick, and this I'm sure is going to be everyone's favorite, is your weapons. Daniel, you had your eye on something. Let's let you go first. What are you feeling?
I want to sling so fucking badly.
I like
it
that.
It just sounds like fun. And I love the idea of like improvised weapons because it says make sure you pick up rocks to shoot, but it's like a sling. So I can shoot like anything that my little grubby hands can get. As long as it fits in the sling.
That's that so rocks. Fun.
That's really good.
A sling does D4 damage. The range is over yonder, which is the farthest range distance.
Also, that's great.
It's so great. It also doesn't take up inventory space, which is good to know.
Just fits in your pocket.
It just fits in your pocket.
The sling is also cool because it's like it's not a slingshot. It's a sling like what David used versus Goliath, like the string or whatever.
Oh. Yeah. Just like if I'm in a place and like some shit pops off, I can grab a pot. I can grab a glass. You know what I mean? Just like anything that I can kind of put in there. And use. I love a weapon where you can improvise a little bit.
I'll also, you know, put it to you. That sounds like a great spot for some antics during this game.
That is
if you want to try to get some extra
that
stuff.
That is a
going.
Shenanigans weapon.
Shenanigans weapon.
I'm here
for
the shenanigans.
Don't throw my horse, man.
Not again.
Stop it.
Chestnut. Bridget, would you like to roll for your weapon? You're rolling a D12 on this.
So I rolled a 4, which was the sling, but I don't want to duplicate. So I rolled again. I got an 11, which is the crossbow, which I absolutely love for this character.
Nice. Hell yeah. Nice.
Crossbow is D10 damage. The range also over yonder. you cannot react in battle while you're busy reloading. It is bulky, so it takes up 2 slots in your carrying capacity.
Okay.
But bundles with 20 bolts. I am going to make you count ammo in this game. So please keep track of that.
Ooh, wait a minute. I don't have unlimited arrows. I can't Legolas this.
You can go collect your bolts.
You can load it with something else.
Yeah, the audacity.
I think I'm excited for about this game, especially like playing it as close to rules as written as possible, is like giving you guys a lot of very small limitations to work with in. And letting you guys get more and more creative with those. So like limited ammo it's annoying, but it can create a really interesting scenario where you have one bolt left and now you have to improvise a bolt or improvise a weapon. I'm excited for that type of stuff. I think it's going to be some great stuff that happens out of those limitations. Abby, what do you got?
I'm going to go with cooking knife.
Ooh.
Oh, hell yeah. It does D4 damage, handy for all kinds of tasks. It is sharp, like really sharp. It also does critical hits on a 1 or a 2.
I say it's for my foraging, but what might I use it for? All kinds of tasks.
It's so handy.
So, because you know so how mushrooms handy. Are so hard to like pick up and, you know, cut from wherever they are?
Notoriously difficult.
Notoriously
to
hard. Yeah.
And Shenouk, what do you got for your weapon?
I rolled a 12, so I got a battle axe.
Nice.
Oh, that fits so well with what's happening with your
cleric
character.
I love this.
The rage axe, yes.
The rage axe. You rage just axe. Want love.
Yeah.
You just want love.
Battle axe is D10 of damage. It requires 2 hands. It is bulky, so it takes up 2 slots in your inventory. It's bulky and brutal, baby.
Bulky and
just
brutal.
Like went to one of those axe throwing things to let off some stress and found a real affinity for it.
And they kept it.
Man, I went to one of those that was like clearly a pop-up one when I was at Gen Con, and there's no way that they were licensed for what they were doing.
Oh
it was
God.
The most I got out of there so quick. So, I was so fucking scared. That is all of the stuff for your guys' characters. Save one thing. And it is for me always the most difficult thing for a character, and that is
same.
What is your character's name?
Oh,
and also your character's pronouns as well. Does anyone want to jump in with a name?
I have one.
Hit us. What do you got?
Maid Adelaide of Midnight Meadows. She, her. I love alliteration.
Nice. That was very good.
Maid Adelaide of Midnight Meadows. Oh, that's excellent. And Danielle, we talked about this at the start of the episode. Can you tell me one fact or trait about your fairy godmother?
Ooh, yeah. And is this, are we doing this from the table that's at the beginning?
You can if you'd like, but you can also come up with anything. It can be as small as what she wears or what they wear. It could be as big as the craziest thing you've seen them do. It could be a manner of speaking. It could be really what this is you guys give me anything and know that I will have to role play it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Feel free to have your fun now, knowing that I will be brutal this season.
I would like our fairy godmother to always have a casket or flagon of wine.
Ooh,
that rocks. Yes. She's an excellent hostess.
Yeah.
So when you say flagon, that makes me think of carryable thing. When you say cask, it makes me think of a thing I'm rolling around. Is it?
If it's a cask, put straps on it, and she carries it on her back.
It's like a Saint Bernard.
I'm going with cask because it's funnier.
Yeah. Like a Saint Bernard. Yeah. Or what is it that the demon hunters where the guy's got his sister in his back in a backpack on his back? Yeah. Except wine.
Except wine.
I just like the idea of it just like constantly sloshing around.
Great for the sound design.
Yes.
Oh, that is going to be a fun one. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm very pleased to meet Maid Adelaide of Midnight Meadow. Would anyone else like to jump in and name their character?
So I hopped in with the table. I rolled again.
Oh, yes. There are some name
There's
tables.
There's a name generator
well.
Table.
Let me know what you got.
Yeah. So I rolled Winifred Golden Falls. And I'm going to go with Winnie to make my life easy. So Winnie Golden Falls.
Hell yeah. And then what are the pronouns for Winnie?
We're going to go she, her, with her. And for the fairy godmother, I was just thinking about the conversation that we had earlier about, you know, pain, suffering, trauma, or how to make it whimsical. I think I want to do something at table. Feel free to redirect me if you don't like it. But I like the idea that our fairy godmother mists out. She turns into mist. If her emotions are swinging, or if she feels betrayed, or if she feels hurt, some type of heightened emotion, you can always, she can't conceal it. She turns into mist. So if she's disappointed in you and she's talking to you, she might missed out. Or if she's grieving, she might missed out. Like you can still see her, she's still present, but something happens with like strong emotional impact. If she's really proud of you, you might be able to see it because she missed out.
That slaps. I really like
that. Okay, then we'll rock out with that then.
I like
That's
that a
very
lot.
Cool.
Man, this godmother's already so kooky and weird. I love it. Was very good to meet Winifred Winnie Golden Falls.
Winnie.
Abby Shenouk.
My character is Anula of Equine Hollow.
Whoa.
Will you spell her name or their name?
Yeah. It's A-N-U-L-A.
And what are Anula's pronouns?
They, them.
Of Equine Hollow. That's horse funny. Girl through and through.
Horse girl.
Yeah.
And then the attribute of the fairy godmother is that she always has a cigarette.
Bruh.
She's a naughty little angel.
All right, gorgeous. How's it going here? Careful, we got it. I can't get too excited. I missed out of here. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. I used to be a princess.
I used to be a princess, too. And now I'm just out here giving gifts. Nah. You want some wine? I got to empty the cask by Tuesday. I got another delivery.
Hell yeah. And Abby.
Maureen.
Oh, Maureen.
Of Glittering Thicket. Also she, her.
And what is your trait of the godmother?
My trait for the godmother, I'm going to twist one of the things on the table a little bit also to give Maureen a little connection to the fairy godmother. On the table, number 6 is a mystical crone, the keeper of profound secrets. And I think we're going to twist it a little bit just that the fairy godmother always has the best gossip. You have to trade her something for it.
Oh, that's good.
It could be more gossip. It could be a physical item. It could be a promise or a favor. But she's more than willing to divulge so long as you pay the price.
Mercenary about it. I love it.
Good. Love that.
Yeah. It's
leading into the fairy.
I do kind of feel like history is gossip.
There
history
you go.
Is gossip. History is absolutely gossip.
History is gossip.
Yes.
Man, that's also that's the title of a book right there.
That's trying to get the kids to take history class.
It's the gossip that takes.
Yeah. That's so it's the gossip that takes. I'm excited to fully meet these characters. Maid Adelaide of Midnight Meadow, Winifred Winnie Golden Falls, Anala of Equine Hollow, and Maureen of Glittering Thicket. I'm going to save the full introductions of these characters for session one. I think we have a nice idea of who they are, but I don't want to go too... I don't want to get the full description. I want to feel that in the moment.
Okay.
The last thing we're going to do is just a little bit of party cohesion, character cohesion questions. I want to ask some questions between characters and of characters to kind of give you guys some links between this party so we kind of know... So you guys have some threads to pull onto of how you know each other, what you know about each other, and how you feel about each other. I'm specifically actually pulling these cohesion questions from another one of my favorite games, Kids on Bikes, which has a great character and party cohesion section in the back. And I'm going to go ahead and start with Abby.
Oh my God, me?
I'm going to ask everyone a positive and a negative question.
Okay.
So starting with the positive question, Abby, who is your best friend in the group?
Oh, I think it's got to be Adelaide because I want to hear the history gossip.
the history gossip, of course.
You know the history of places I haven't been, so even if it's like ancient, it's still hot goss when you haven't heard it yet.
Love
that. And then, Abby, who did you have a rivalry with as a child? Or it could be a current rivalry if you don't want it to be from childhood.
I do like it being a more recent rivalry
that's
still perhaps a little fresh. I'm going to say Winnie.
I like that. I was hoping you were going to choose me. I just didn't want to say it and like influence your decision. I was hoping for it.
There we go.
Do you have a specific, what is that? How does that rivalry, what are you rivalrous about? Or is it just kind of like, this is the princess that is my rival?
I mean, I think at its core, it's that I'm jealous of your connection to like animals and nature and felt like I was really good at that with my agility stuff and then was like, what the hell? Like you this just comes so naturally to you. So it may also just be a little bit of a one-way rivalry.
Do you want a duel or do you want a one-way?
Do you want a duel?
You want a duel?
We'll figure it out. I feel like you know. You could tell. You could either lean into it or... Or be like, oh, yeah. Maureen.
Do you want to do a sick duel? Hey! Do you want to catch these hands?
And then actually, sorry, Abby, going back to your best friend in the group, Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, what makes her your best friend? And also, Adelaide, is Maureen your best friend?
Oh, the harshest question.
Oh. Rude?
I know. It's getting real.
I will say that Maureen is both my best friend and my biggest rival.
Fair.
Okay.
I would say. Even if it's a one-sided rivalry.
Yeah.
And Abby, how does that best friendship, do you guys have a ritual that you do? Is there a handshake? Do you have a nickname? Is there any single thing that you can point to that is like a summary of that friendship?
I feel like we have a... tradition at this point of at the end of the day we sit down with like a cup of tea and spill our secrets of the day. Of like it's our little ritual where we sort of like hide off in a corner and do it even if it's mundane things, but it's just like a cute check-in.
Yeah, it's just like venting. It's not talking shit if you're venting.
Exactly. Yeah.
it's healthy.
Yeah.
I also like there's an element of like, Maureen, you're doing gossip, and Adelaide, you're putting it into historical context.
I like that.
Let's go to Anala. Okay, before I ask the question, Anala, pick any other player, any other character here.
Winnie.
Why do you feel forever indebted to Winnie?
Oh.
Damn. I feel forever indebted to Winnie because She introduced me to horses.
That's good. Oh, oh God. Because
also you're the
so
wild
good.
Heart. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Introduce them to horses is strong, baby. That's good storytelling.
That's strong.
That's strong. That's just good storytelling.
I'm deciding if I should ask you if you have a horse. Should I grant you a horse at the start of the game? Is that dangerous? You are a horse girl. It's your whole thing. What's the name of your horse?
There we go. That's how you tell stories. Yeah.
What's the name of my horse? The name of my horse is Tater Tot.
Oh, Tater Tot. Taters. This horse is plot proof. I just want everybody to know right now.
Horse is plot proof.
Figure it out. The horse is plot proof. We can TPK, but that horse is going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Shadu, can you choose another character and ask you your negative question?
Ooh.
I'll pick Maureen.
Ooh. Okay.
Maureen. I'm gonna just go with the rougher ones. Let's make it a little messy. You hurt this character years ago. Why can't you apologize?
Damn!
Well, yo. I was right. That's why.
That's why. I was right.
Sam.
Apologizing for being right.
Yeah, why the hell would I apologize? That's ridiculous.
All that bottled up anger. That's good, baby.
Yeah, this is so dumb. Grow up.
Not grow up!
I think with Maureen... We both had the same love interest, perhaps, and I bribed someone to fuck up Maureen's day so I could have time with them alone and got them to not like Maureen. But then I got bored with them pretty quickly, so I was like, actually, I don't want this one anymore. And
damn. Sabotaged Maureen's chance with a prince?
Yeah, because I'm trying to find love.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are.
It is your one true passion. Yes,
Anila and Maureen. What was the name of this partner? This potential match for both of you?
Gumby.
Are you gonna let
your name game is official? Let me tell you.
I'll let Gumby fly. Sure.
Tater Tot, Gumby. Yeah, your names be naming.
Sir Gumby.
Sir Gumby.
Sir Gumby.
And. Bridget.
Yes.
Why don't you choose another character for me?
I'm going to go with... Let's do Adelaide.
Adelaide. Oh, this is a nice one. What part of this character's personality do you realize is exceptional that they themselves do not realize?
Oh, I love questions like that.
Oh, that's so nice.
Oh.
Wow.
We get the dessert first and then we get the broccoli.
Wow. We all got like warm and fzzy for a second.
Yeah. That's so
don't
sweet.
Worry, I'll hit you on the backside.
Mm-hmm. Adelaide, what was your gift again? Which one were you?
Was it enchanting voice?
You have the enchanting voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, anybody have any good ideas? I'm open to table suggestions on this one. Generosity could be a very interesting thing to explore.
I will say I will probably be playing her. I have like closer to like with the being able to mimic voices and things like that. And like with the singing, I will probably be playing her closer to using her abilities like a con woman than
okay.
like.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
That's
I could
so
see.
Funny.
I could see, and this, Daniel, this is kind of putting something on your character, so tell me if you're interested in this, of like
yeah.
a fairness. Like, yes, you are a con woman, but there's like a fairness to the way you do it.
Like
oh,
a Robin Hood vibe.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Or what
yeah,
about you have a code? Something like
a code. Yeah, that's
a code of con.
You have a code
that
is
like a moral
code.
Clarity there.
Code of con hyphen.
Hey!
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
yes.
You have a code of conduct.
You have an exceptional code of conduct and you stick to it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
There's something grounding about that, right?
I love a pun.
That's very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, great. Thank you for the inspiration on that one, storyteller. So, yeah, Adelaide has a code of conduct that they don't realize that it's just, even if they don't articulate what it is, just being around her long enough, I've clocked that pattern and it's something admirable to watch.
Yeah.
I love it.
Hell yeah.
We could all write down the code of conduct as a book based on how many times you've told us about it. Like, yeah, we get it.
Bridget, why don't you choose one more character for me? And I'll give
you a
negative.
Yeah, let's hop over to Maureen.
Ooh, you are sure this character is hiding something from you. How do you know feeling they're deceiving you?
They don't have a code of conduct.
Maureen is loosey-goosey, baby. There are no rules.
Maureen is the gossip chaser, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. She is.
I have to say that Maureen knows something about my past that they're not telling me. And then I'll leave it to Maureen to choose what it is. But whatever it is, it either devastate me or hurt me or embarrass me. Or, hell, it might enlighten me or empower me. It could be a prophecy. I'll leave that all to Maureen to decide in between sessions. But she knows something about my past or maybe my future. She knows something intimately tied to me that I don't. And I just have a feeling that she knows something. And I don't know why she's not telling me, but I'm not going to press her on it. She might shut down on me.
That's a glorious gift you have given me. Thank you.
I can't wait to play off of it, especially because we're rivals, too.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, I forgot about the rivalry
thing. That's good. Yeah, yeah.
That's why I won't tell you. Maybe it's a wonderful thing, and I'm just mad to get to...
I'm just mad about it, yeah.
I'm like, ugh, your life's going to get even better.
I hate it. Or the heartbreaking aspect is it's something really terrible, and even though we're rivals, you don't have the heart to actually say it to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to make it through the end of this campaign, but we're just not going to say it out loud right now.
Devastating.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I love it. I love these. This is, again, a reason I love these random questions. They just pull out so much good little stuff that maybe we use. Maybe it falls by the wayside, but it could be the core of the story. We just don't know. We're giving ourselves a lot of advance.
Yeah.
And Danielle, come to you.
Hello.
Why don't you choose another character and I'll give you your positive question.
Ooh, Anala.
Why do you treasure a seemingly valueless item this character once gave you?
Ooh.
And whatever it is, whatever the item is, I'll let you add it to your inventory at no charge.
Free of charge.
At no charge.
No charge.
No charge.
I mean, you can't say a rhinoceros, but...
It's another sling.
It's another horse.
gave us all horses.
Oh, yeah, you tater tot brown. Sister.
Oh, you know, I think maybe a friendship bracelet or a charm made with some of the mane of Anala's first horse.
This is Tater Tot's mane.
Yeah, I think that would mean something.
That's very nice. Is there a specific reason why you treasure it? Is it just a sign of friendship, or would they come in a moment?
I think it's, you know, my character, maybe a little bit more of a con artist, but it's like, this is something that, like, doesn't mean anything to, like, anyone else in the world, but means, like, everything to them. Like, it means everything to Anala. Oh. And, like, that's what makes it, like, precious.
It is the thing you kind of can't steal.
Because, like,
it has to be given.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, it's, you know, people with money or anything like that, like, a lot of them don't care about any of the baubles or whatever, but like, this is like an irreplaceable, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then your last question, which is the negative question, choose a character for me, I'll give you a question.
Okay. Let's go with Winnie.
Yeah.
Winnie. Oh, this feels right. What does this character have that you want to take from them?
Oh, yes.
Damn.
Damn.
Ooh. Ooh.
A crossbow.
A crossbow is
You're like, just let me borrow it for like 3 minutes.
Just for a little bit.
At the end of the campaign, Adley's going to have all of our weapons.
I actually do. That is actually incredibly funny. Just, I just want to borrow it.
Where the hell's my axe?
Real sensitive about this crossbow, my God.
Yeah, I just want to look at it. Just let me hold it. Just let me hold it till next payday.
Wait, we're getting paid?
Yeah, I actually do like that. I do like.
Oh, you're going with crossbow.
Crossbow.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's so funny.
That's a good bit.
A weapon I cannot carry, nor do I know how to use.
Doesn't matter. You still want it.
I really like it, the idea of you've been using a sling and you're basically asking someone to give you like a 12 gauge shotgun with all the kickback that comes with that.
Yeah.
Like, listen, trust me, you can't handle this.
But it just looks so cool. I just want it.
This is what you won't know. You won't know until I try it.
Right. Let me hold it.
Just let me hold it for like a week.
Oh. Just for like a second or two or 12 or God. One day or 16.
Can I have it?
Or forever. Can I just have it? It's mine.
All
now.
I want for
this,
Christmas.
This
is
yours.
Crossbow.
This is mine.
This is mine.
And not any other crossbow. Like only that crossbow.
That one. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Nobody else's crossbow.
Right. Well, Winnie's tried to explain it to you that it's like, it's off a line. This is a replica. Like, yeah. You don't need this one. I'll buy you your own.
You can buy one.
No, it's exactly the same. Yours.
You have the gold pieces.
I want yours, and then I want you to not have one.
That's the real thing.
It's really, it's like, I wasn't done playing with it.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't done playing with it. Like, I don't want to share. And no, you can't just, like, give that to me and then go buy another one.
Yeah,
no.
You can't have one.
Yeah, I want it, and I don't want you to have one.
Yeah.
That's good. That's petty.
That's real sibling stuff. I like
that's
that.
That's deliciously petty.
We have a pretty dynamic and interesting group of princesses here that I am very excited to meet next week during our session one.
Wait, Brian, can I ask one question really quick?
Yeah, please.
How do we all know each other? Are we like all just like friends? Are we like cousins?
We were raised in the same house under the same fairy godmother. How does that look?
Yeah.
So I will say some things for this adventure. You all have the same fairy godmother, which is certainly something that links you. For the sake of this adventure, I'm going to tell you some truths of the world. That the Deer Hollow is a small town in the middle of the haunted or enchanted Tanglewood Forest. I think you all have been to Deer Hollow. This might even be a place where, like, you guys hung out almost at, like, summer camp or, like, a princess retreat.
Cool. Not a princess retreat.
The princess retreat.
I think you all also correspond via post from your various kingdoms or villages or towns where you live in. Depending on whether you act as a princess in the, you know, capital P sense, you know, lording over a land, or if you are a princess yet to take your full mantle, kind of, you know, princess before you get the glass slipper. But I think you all know each other. You have fond memories together in this town, Deer Hollow. You all correspond to each other via the princess post. And the courier that you all know is a woman named Constance or Connie, Connie West.
So Connie is like Postmaster General or
Connie is Postmaster General specifically for like royalty and princess. This is like secured courier mail.
Oh, okay. Royal delivery.
It's also worth noting that you guys have not heard from Connie in some time. She was recently sent to deliver a message to Celine, another princess in Deer Hollow, and has not been heard from in some time. And that is likely where we will begin our story.
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion!
Before we get out of here, I want to get one hell yeah from everybody. What is a thing you absolutely want to see in the game that you are super excited about that I want to make sure we throw into this game and put on our highest priority of things that we want to do? Abby, I'd love to start with you.
Could you start somewhere else?
Shenouk, I'd love to start with you. Normally I'd say no, but that's wife privileges.
Okay. right.
That's cute. I would love some kind of like horse chase scene type thing.
That's true.
Horse chase. Love it.
We've got a horse now. We have to use it. And it's plot proof.
Feel free to be as specific as you want with this. Because ultimately, like, there will be, if you tell me you want to kick someone off a high tower, great. We're going to put some weird things in front of you to allow you to maybe try to do that.
This is Sparta moment. Got it. Her.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Bridget, what do you got?
These characters are extremely interesting to me. So I think one of my hell yeah wishes that I would want is backstory on these characters.
Yeah.
I would love
to explore either through reverse visions or discussing it or even role playing it out. But I would love to see some of the backstory on some of these characters.
Love that. Danielle, what's a hell yeah from you?
I want to cry, but that's a given. I'm just going to,
because
I'm a big old crybaby. It's just going to happen. If at all possible, if I do sing, please sweeten my audio. and I will try to make things as legally distinct as possible.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
There we go. No lawsuits over here, guys.
Yeah.
We've got our composer, Behold, in the wings, ready to throw some stank on your vocals.
Let's go.
Should be fun. And Maureen, Abby, once you round us out, what is your hell yeah for this season?
My hell yeah is I want to see these princesses kick some ass. I want us to have like a badass group moment where we just are like, it's Powerpuff Girls.
Squatting out.
I think we're definitely going to get some squad kick-ass moments. I would definitely say look to your heart dice as things that can help facilitate that.
Mm-hmm.
And look to use your antics as much as possible.
Oh, don't you worry about that.
Wait, Brian, can I have one more?
Sure.
Can unicorns be real?
In the game or in life?
Both. If you have the power, please, both.
Please, Brian.
Shanook.
Please.
Can it be a mystery? Can it be a mystery?
Yeah,
that
don't
we
tell
find
me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Just surprise
the
me.
Truth.
Anala has heard tell that only deep within the Tanglewood Forest, somewhere, there is a lone unicorn lurking. Somewhere in the shadows. Who knows whether this unicorn will do good or do evil? And if they've been affected by the candy curse, but you will find out next time on My First Dungeon, Perils and Princesses. And that is all for our session zero of Perils and Princesses. Yahoo, indeed. Join us next time as we meet our princesses, begin our adventures, and find out what the mysterious Tanglewood Forest has in store. And as always, remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm a princess.
Gonna go find a that princess. Unicorn.
Unicorn.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is one of our favorite online game stores and offers a curated selection of indie tabletop RPGs and solo games delivered to you with care. Use code PERIL15 to get 15% off of Perils and Princesses, Sweet Revenge, or any other game at tabletopbookshelf.com. This episode features the voice talents of Brian Flaherty, Abby Hepworth, Bridget Jeffries, Danielle Radford, and Shanook Tissara. Editing by Brian Flaherty. This episode features a theme song and some original music by Behold. Additional music and sound effects provided by Artlist.io. My First Dungeon is a many-sided media production. If you want even more My First Dungeon, join our Patreon to get access to the cast talkbacks for each episode this season, as well as bonus actual plays, original music, and so much more. And remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.